I would like to start with a tune that elicited great activity here at the canvas the other night when Rich and I did our duet. And one reason why that was that he recognized the tune. Unser Vater in Himmelreich or something. It's Dutch, so it's probably Unser Vater in Himmelreich or something. But it's a well-known chorale or hymn, and I was really surprised that Rich knew the tune, because I didn't know that it was still being used today. This is a book of variations, one of three volumes of variations on favorite tunes of 1645, approximately, by Jacob von Eck, who was a blind flutist who was paid to wander around the graveyard somewhere in Holland and play his little tunes and entertain the spirits and the people that were wandering around. So he wrote these three books of variations on well-known tunes of the time. And then later I'm going to play just one set of variations on an opera melody from the last century, from the 19th century. So from time to time, variations unaccompanied on familiar airs are in vogue, and they happen to be in 1645 when this was written. So that means Our Father in Heaven. And first you hear the tune, and then four variations. I should be playing this on a Renaissance flute, but unfortunately I don't have one. This is a Baroque flute, and this particular one is 3 years old, but it's a copy of an instrument in a museum that was made in 1720. So I should have an instrument from 80 years before, say. And then it was the Renaissance flute, which is just one piece of wood rather than 1, 2, 3, 4. And it didn't have any of these ivory rings. It was all just one piece. Sometimes they had little brass pieces on either end. And it was straight, much like a hippie flute that you buy, much like at a street fair or something, one of those bamboo flutes, except that it's in reality much more complex. And sometimes, in fact, those are very complex. I recently met someone who will make you a wonderfully crafted hippie flute for, I think he charges $75, and I'm sure he does more work than is put into this, which costs, I bought it for $550, but it's worth $900, I'd say. This hippie flute was beautifully crafted. Everything was just perfect, and it was one of a kind, whereas, this is supposedly a perfect copy of an instrument in a museum. That's all really beside the point. It's a long flute for this music, but it's tough.
I'm leaving.
That's why we're not going to finish until 1 a.m.
Thank you.
12 fantasies, of which I'm going to play one, were written a little bit after this thing was built, about 6 years or so, so it's the appropriate item to play these with. And they were written by Telemann, and they're some of the only music that we have for unaccompanied flute, specifically written for flute. Of course, we normally think of a flute like this, but of course in those days they didn't know these at all. So this exactly is what they meant by flute. So these were written specifically for flute, and they're unique in that they have no accompaniment and were written for unaccompanied flute, no harpsichord or anything. So I'm going to play the first one. It's in three short parts. Vivace. No, it's in two. The first one is sort of broken up, slow, fast, and then a little allegro, a little dance. Mary's Vespers. Was that yesterday? Mm-hmm. I played a movement of a cello suite by Johann Sebastian Bach, but on flute, and I played it practically as written, except with just a few notes that are too low, I brought them up. And instead of, there are a couple of chords near the end, and instead of, obviously I can't play a chord on this, so I arpeggiated. I went between the notes of the chord, ba da dee da dee da dee da dee da dee da, instead of just playing wham. So this is a different cello suite, but I'm going to play all the movements to this one before I switch to the other flute. And I don't know if I had the idea to do this before a certain encounter with a cellist or not. Maybe that gave me the idea. Anyway, a cellist played an unaccompanied flute suite on cello. And this is infuriating to flutists because we have such a small amount of music for unaccompanied flute that we just treasure, especially the Bach piece for unaccompanied flute, the one Bach piece for unaccompanied flute. This guy comes along and says the thing was written for a kind of cello. He says he thinks it is. He really doesn't have any evidence. And he says that it's impossible to be played on the flute. And I defy him to say that within 10 feet of me again. So he stole our flute suite and played it. So I was stealing one of his. It isn't as big a deal, though, really, because he's got six, and I'm only stealing a sixth of them, but at least I can give him a little kick in the shins. No, actually, it's very rewarding to find other music that can be played on the flute that wasn't necessarily written for flute. And people are doing that on modern flute. For instance, they're taking a big, hefty sonata by César Franck for violin or cello and playing it on flute. And there are a number of other sonatas, big, hefty things, because we flutists don't have many such works, so we're eager to lay our hands on them. This is a suite in G major, and it starts with a prelude, and then an allemande, a courant, a sarabande, a couple of minuets, and a gigue. And those are all dance forms. A suite is technically a grouping of various dances. And so all of those were danced to in this time, except for the prelude, which is a prelude.
Thank you.
melody of H. Proch, whoever that is, by E. Walkiers. I don't know much about him either, except that I played one of the craziest flute quartets I've ever heard in my life, by him, sometime in the last century, and this was one of my little things in my box. And this fantasy actually has three parts. The first part is the theme and two variations, and then an adagio, and then a finale. I get to be a brass band all by myself. So this technique had gone out of vogue for about 100 years. It was in vogue there in 1650s. They were writing variations like crazy, like the ones I played first. And then there almost isn't any, except, well, I know some God Save the Queen variations, but those were written in the late 1700s. So they finally came back into vogue in about 1810, 1820. And these were probably written around 1840 or so, 40 or 50. And at that time, they had a flute that was very similar to this one. Although at that time, there was much controversy as to which flute was best. There were many models, one model of which was a flute like this, but with just a few more keys. And another model was a flute like this, but with all kinds of hardware covering it. But there's a huge difference between these two flutes, even with all the hardware here. And that is that this one has a conical bore, and this one has a cylindrical bore, a straight bore. And that does something completely different to the harmonics in the sound, the tone color. Oh, and it's called Horn of the Alps. Thank you. this is just an etude that a lot of flutists know because it's something that we have to slave over in college. It's by Anderson. He wrote 24 etudes in this particular book, and he wrote many, many books of them. By Botta, who is a 20th century composer who's written lots of things for every woodwind instrument. Just called Image. It was written about 1940. Thank you. paper. You could push it down. Which one should we do? All right, how about this one? I think this fellow was a flutist too. His name is Donjon, Johannes Donjon. When we had that community meeting, if any of you were here a while ago, and I played one little Falling Leaves melody, it was by Donjon. We're going to play two short pieces for flute and piano. The first one is Offertoire. Offering or something. Feels like you're
70 years or 100 years into the past. There's that. I don't know, I do. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Summer in the Mr. Cohan's box, Treasures in the Basement program, I played some American variations on The Last Rose of Summer. I forget by whom, but these are by Kuhlau, who was a really well-known, well, contemporary of Beethoven. He wrote a lot of stuff for flute duets and also solo piano music and that kind of stuff. So these are variations on The Last Rose of Summer by Kuhlau. And this is all what they call salon music, and it is just perfect for a little room. Salon. And I have some horrible page turns here. Do you have yours set out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.